appreciate the singers. Being one that makes a joyful noise, it's always a great appreciation for those that have ability and are willing to lend their voices to the service of the Lord. It is truly a blessing. I thank the Lord for it. I appreciate the truth that there is in the songs that we sing as well. There's a tremendous amount of truth that we've heard already this evening. And our goal and our desire tonight is to add to that, as the Lord would bless, desire and interest in your prayers this evening that the Lord, you know, we were singing earlier, and all I could think of was, and I'm just going to be transparent with you, all I could think of is how inadequate I feel. And the Lord reminded me of the story of Elijah.
Yes.
And if you remember when he made his offering, he commanded them to pour barrels of water on there. And I remember one time meditating upon that, not fully understanding what it was. And I remember the Lord bringing a revelation of those are your inadequacies as well.
Yes.
And you just go ahead and put those on the sacrifice, and the fire of God will do what it's intended to do and will supersede those inadequacies. And so in faith tonight, I stand before you to proclaim the word of the Lord.
Amen.
As I said last night, I'm interested in all of us making heaven our home.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm interested in us having what Jesus promised.
Yes.
And that is more than life, but it's an abundant life.
Yes.
As Sister Jody testified, it's a life in which we can enjoy. Mm-hmm. We don't have to walk around begrudging the Christian life, but it's something that is exciting and invigorating, and it's got challenges. There's no question about it. There's a road of sacrifice. There's difficulty. There's hardship. Yet the Lord said, be of good cheer.
Yes.
And why was it? Not because you endured to the very end, or you were smart enough, or you had enough fortitude, or anything else. It's because He had conquered it. And He offers to us that same victory. We even have a song that talks about that. And He bequeaths us His victory. And we rejoice in that tonight, and we thank the Lord for it. Last night we talked a little bit. I hope by the help of the Lord we understand tonight just how crazy God is about you. Just how much He loves you and cares about you. And it should, as you meditate upon that, it should invigorate your spirit and give you fortitude and a sense of confidence as you walk through this life. Regardless of what anybody else might think of you, the Lord has thoughts of you, and He has desire to be with you, and that's why He offers to us salvation, and then even beyond that, He offers to us heaven. He offers us an expected end. That's what He said His thoughts were, right? Thoughts of peace. Thoughts to bring us to an expected end. And so it is that we understand tonight that we know our beginning and we know our end. And it is with God that we start, and it is with God that we will end, by His blood, by His mercy, by His grace, and we'll spend all of eternity with Him. And the hard part is all that time in between. Because that's what we call life. That's where we are. That's where we face difficulty and challenges. And let's be honest, it's really easy to have a great day when everything's going your way. When it's according to how your thoughts are and how you think it should go and your preferences, and you know, you never hit a red light, nobody cuts you off, the person in front of you doesn't slow down and go to a police stop before they turn, they just do it in a timely manner so you can keep going on, right? Nobody is rude to you in the checkout line, and everybody's just nice to you, right? When we have days like that, it's good to feel great.
Yeah.
But the reality is those are so few. That's just the reality. They're those are so few.
Yes.
And we live some life, and there are things that happen. And I want to, by the help of the Lord, talk a little bit tonight. I want to expose the enemy and what he does and how he operates and how he functions.
Yeah.
I want to recognize that there are things out there that I would call grace killers. Right? Things that would inhibit the ability of grace to work. And I also want to talk a little bit tonight what God's remedy is for us to be successful and to overcome those particular things. As I think about the expected end, as I said, it should give us hope, it should give us courage to know that we know where we're going.
Yes.
regardless of how the day goes, regardless of the things that we face and how things, whether they work for our good or not, we have this assurance, as the scripture says, everything. Right? Not just most things, but everything works together for the good of those that love him and that are called according to his purpose. And we know this is a conditional promise. You know, it's fairly easy to meet those conditions. All it is you got to love the Lord in return. And take the time to be patient and seek to be in the will of the Lord. To do whatever his purpose is in your life. If you love him and you're doing according to his purpose, it doesn't matter what happens in your life. It's for your good.
Amen.
And I know sometimes it's hard to say amen to that because there are some things that if we look at it, we really struggle. And that's part of the problem is that when we're out here living life, there are enemy that is working against us that tries to get us to think the wrong way and to not look at things clearly and properly. This is why it's so important to memorize Scripture.
Amen.
This is why we teach our young folks to be able to get a hold of Scripture and to memorize it and understand what it says, that as it's written in their minds, that it'll eventually work its way down and be written on their hearts.
Yes.
But you know, my son at home, my little one, 10-year-old, he asked me one time, because in Sunday school, I don't know how it is in yours, but in our Sunday school, it's usually the little kids that do the memory verses. And he asked me one time, he says, "Dad, how come the adults don't do it?" I thought, that's a fair question.
Uh-huh.
And so I rattled off 4 or 5 different scriptures for him. I said, it's not that we don't. It's just we're giving you opportunity to have your chance to be able to say something and be able to get that in your heart. It's not to excuse us as adults from time to time. I think it's important that we model what it is that we want the children to be doing, right? That we would be unashamed to recite a scripture and let them know that it's for the old ones too, and understand that it's the scriptures that are going to help us. It's the scriptures that are going to get us from here to eternity in a successful manner. And it is those scriptures that keep us, those are the scriptures that we use. It says that it's a sword. It's the only weapon we have. Right? It's a sword. We get to swing that thing. And it's sharp. It's able to pierce and cut right down to the heart of the matter. And, you know, even as we do that, I'm thinking tonight, I forgot to write the scripture down, but it says, in the last days, there would be seducing spirits.
Yes.
And I want us to be aware of this. And as I said, I want to expose the enemy tonight. I know that that comes at a personal cost. Anytime I start to expose the enemy, there are personal attacks that I receive from him, things that he tries to disturb in my family and extended family and in my life and things that are going on. But you know what? I have the utmost confidence that no matter what happens, it's for my good. That the Lord will only permit that which is right and that which will help. And so I want to, by the help of the Lord, to expose these seducing spirits, that we understand that there are spirits that are alive and well, and they have power, they have ability, and there are things that are operating and functioning in a day and time in which we live in 2026. When I think about those seducing spirits and how they come and how they operate and function, so many times we think these spirits are something that, you know, it's just, well, there it is, I can see it. And the reality is that they transform themselves and they come in a way that seems logical.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They come in a way that seems plausible. It just makes sense. It appeals to your common sense. It appeals to your natural disposition, right? We all have natural ways of thinking, natural ways that we want to be. And I'm going to remind you tonight that those seducing spirits understand that. They come. I found the scripture that I'd written down. It's in 1 Timothy 4. Maybe we'll turn and read that really quick. These spirits come in a way that appeal to you. 1 Timothy 4 and 1 reads, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." And it goes on to talk about some other things. But what the scripture is telling us here, it's giving us a mark so that we know what to look for when it comes to those spirits. It also says that some would fall away, that these seducing spirits have the ability and have a power to dissuade some if they're so inclined. I'm here to tell you tonight, we don't have to go that way. We don't have to bend to that. We don't have to bow to that or go that way. But we do need to be awake. We do need to be aware and recognize that these spirits are alive and well and operating and functioning. You know, as I think in 2026, one of the greatest ways in which I see seducing spirits working in the United States of America, our political system.
Yes.
100%. How many times do you see someone stand up and they've got an opinion, they start to say something, and pretty soon they're vilifying the other side and they're putting everybody in a particular category except child of God and needing to be saved? Those are the only two categories of people. There is a child of God and those that need to be a child of God. There is no other, but there are so many different identities and different groups that they want to put you in. And I'm going to tell you tonight, there's not a lack of causes to get involved with.
Right?
Whatever your opinion is, however you're bent, whatever it gets you so impassioned and you're excited about, there's a cause out there for you.
Yes.
Anything that you want to sign on to, you will find a collection of people that are interested. You want to dress like a fuzzy animal and put a tail and ears? There's a whole group and a convention of them. And they'll advocate for their way of thinking and their way of being. But you understand that there are spirits that are at work in those kinds of things.
Yeah.
The Word of God tells us that we're to grow in knowledge till we all come to unity in the fullness of stature of Christ Jesus. So anything, any ideology, any philosophy out there that starts to cause any kind of separation needs to be cast aside. It's not meant for a child of God. There's a seducing spirit behind that. There is a work that is happening, and we have to be careful as a people of God to recognize these things and see them for what they are, because these are the things that cause that slow fade. I'm mindful tonight. We won't take the time to read it, but I will remind you to go back and read the third chapter of Genesis, verses 1 through 13, where we have an account of the serpent coming to Eve and talking to her. And I'm just going to paraphrase a few of these things and highlight just for the sake of time so that we can get on to some other things. But understand that the scripture shows us how the enemy works.
That's right.
One of the things that you will notice in that dialogue between Eve and the serpent is that he's relentless. He keeps coming back over and over and over again. And I want you to understand, this is how people get so impassioned and emblazoned in particular ideologies and philosophies to the point that they eventually will reject even the counsel of God.
Yes.
Because they're going to hold to their cause and it's somehow righteous. Yes. And they'll justify it and spin it all different kinds of ways to try and make it righteous and holy when the fruit of it is not.
That's right, brother.
So it is that they will come. When the devil came to Eve, he just came and he brought a little idea and he caused her to look at it a different way. There's a saying that they teach in psychology that perception shapes reality. Okay? What does that mean? That means when you already think in your mind and perceive it a certain way, then whatever that happens after that, it's going to fit in line with that. Your mind will naturally turn it that way. So let me give you an example. Let's say you're at Monarch, right? And you're walking across the grounds, and there's somebody that you don't have a whole lot of relationship with, and, you know, maybe you're a person that struggles to think that someone likes you. There's some folks, as many as we got here, I'm sure there's plenty. I want to tell you, you're wonderful. I want you to know that tonight. Don't be under that. Be free from that and that thinking. God loves you enough to die for you. You have value. You have worth. Whether people recognize it or not does not diminish it. Okay? But let's just say you suffer with that. And so you see someone across the way and you're like, you know, and you just muster up the courage and that you're going to just kind of wave to them in hopes that they'll wave back and maybe you can have a conversation. And they just don't see you and they just kind of walk right by you. Just go right on past you. Do you realize that seducing spirit's there with an idea?
Yes, it is.
You know why they did that? They don't like you. You are not that important. You have no value. Maybe he'll tell you he doesn't like your personality. Maybe he doesn't like your kind. Right? All these different thoughts will come. Understand that this is how these seducing spirits come. They'll introduce an idea and then they back away. And what we have to do is ask ourselves, if this is in fact true, what is the logical conclusion? If that is actually true, then what, how's that cause me to feel? What action is it going to move me to? And if it doesn't move me closer to them, then I have to recognize that that is something from a seducing spirit that's trying to create separation. Right? The devil says, the word says that the devil is an accuser of the brethren. Right? And that's how he creates separation, to plant these little ideas. And so what I say with all this is if you think in your mind already that that person doesn't really care much about you, now every time you see them, every little action that they do is going to be interpreted through that lens and that way of thinking. Uh-huh. And everything that they do is, yep, there's another piece of evidence. There's another reason why they don't care about me. There's another reason why I'm not that important. There's another reason why they won't talk to me. And so what happens is you get this perception in your mind, and now it is coloring your reality. When maybe all along that person didn't see you to begin with. That's just but one of a million examples of things that we do. And understand, this is how that seducing spirit works. It introduces an idea and then it steps back and lets your own curiosity take over. Your imagination and things start to enter your mind. And he did the same thing with Eve. He'd show up and he'd talk to her a little bit and then he backed off. And then you read in the word, he came back again.
Sure did.
He wasn't done the first time. He didn't have to convince her the first time. He simply just planted a little idea and we step back and see what happened. You know, we have the same thing in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
One planteth, another watereth. It's God that gives the increase. Just a little bit here. We believe in that concept, do we not?
Yes.
We just plant a little seed here, plant a little seed, maybe, and someone else adds a little bit of water, add a little bit of water. We step back, let the Lord do something. It works in the opposite as well.
Yes.
These seducing spirits understand that we're human beings. They understand how we operate and how God made us. And so they work against us. Understand that a seducing spirit, it captivates you. It's not something that you're immediately repulsed by.
Yeah.
And understand that this is how they operate and function. When he came to Eve, he said, look at that tree over there. Okay? But before he even got to that, what did he say? He pointed at her lack, did he not? He said, you can't have everything, can you? Mm-hmm. And she's like, everything but this tree. And he's like, again, plant a little idea.
Wow.
He didn't beat her up with it. He says, I want you to admit it. There's a lack in your life. There's one thing you can't touch.
Mm.
And then he left. He left her to think on that.
Uh-huh.
And it starts spinning in her mind. I'm going to tell you this. Seducing spirits today work the same way.
Yeah.
There's a little thought. There's a little idea that comes.
That's right, brother.
And then you're left alone, and then you just wallow in your own mind, and pretty soon you start shaping some reality because you got some perception up in there, and now that's how you can't see it any other way. That's how you get put in bondage. That's how you lose that glorious freedom.
Yes.
You remember in the 11th chapter of Numbers, I won't go and read it, but in the 11th chapter of Numbers, we have the account of the children of Israel after they'd been out of Egypt, out of slavery. They were free.
Yes.
I mean, I was talking to young people today. The world's first aquarium, they experienced it.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
They walked on through on dry ground. They saw the ocean on both sides. It had to have been amazing.
Yes, it had to be.
Can you just stop and comprehend that for a minute?
Ooh.
You ever been to the ocean? You know how vast that thing is?
Yeah.
And to be able to just walk on through like it's nothing? It's mind-blowing.
Yes.
And yet, in less than a few years, they were wanting to go back. How in the world can you want to go back to something that was so bad? Nothing but a seducing spirit to convince you otherwise. He started talking to them. Oh, you remember the melons? Oh, those taste so good on a hot day. Get it out of the ice box and just take about it dripping down your face. And oh, you remember the leeks? Oh, remember when we made that one dish with all that garlic?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And he get them remembering all the highlights.
Uh-huh.
and forgetting about all the Lowlights and what their life was like, being in sin and being in bondage to their master and being told when to get up and when to, how many bricks to make. And now you don't even get straw. You got to go get it yourself, and you still got to make all these bricks, or you're going to get whipped. You don't see any of that in there. Understand that this is how these seducing spirits work. Right. They bring an idea, they leave it with you, and they step away.
That's what they do.
And let you try to do all the work to fill it in.
They do.
Yeah.
This is what we're faced with in 2026. Yeah. It's not just in our political system. Right. Okay? They'll go to church with you. Oh, you'll never have problems like you have when you go to church. I'm just being honest. Okay, nobody's ever going to hurt you like somebody that you worship with and go to services with, and you'll hear something. Maybe they didn't directly to, but you hear it through the church grapevine. Oh, you know, so and so said, and now you think in a certain kind of way, and don't understand that there's a seducing spirit that's working behind the scenes, trying to divide, trying to conquer, trying to bring you back into bondage, right? And he did the same with Eve, and he would go to her, and he'd, after he planted that idea, he came along and he's like, "You won't surely die, will you? Just put a little question mark on it. Just a little question mark. Take what God has said that is true, put a question mark on the end, and now there's a little bit of doubt. Sow a seed of doubt." And all of a sudden, now we're like, well, that's where we get the terms, you're like, oh, he's just a bad boy. He's just a bad girl. Like, we try to soften it up. There's all these different cliches in the world.
Yes, brother.
Little ideologies and philosophies and things that people say. Right? How do I justify doing what I want to do? YOLO. Right? I know it's kind of old. But you only live once. Why don't you embrace it? Go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Right? These little philosophies are the work of seducing spirits to cause our minds to not be holy and pure and focus on what the Word of God says.
That's so, brother.
When we think about those kinds of things and we think about what's loose, I want us to understand that we're not without power. We're not without the ability to have victory. We can discern these kinds of things and these kinds of spirits. We can see them. We can root them out by the Spirit of the Lord, and we can turn loose of them and reject them and all their ideologies and embrace the ways of the Lord.
There you go, brother.
When I think about grace killers, I want to ask you as an audience tonight. Sometimes we struggle to give ourselves grace. Right? You've heard the term, three strikes, you're out. Right? We've heard it. You understand that that's a worldly philosophy. You don't find that in the Word of God. What do you find? A righteous man falleth seven times, but he gets up every time. That's what we find. Understand that when we hear these philosophies, they appeal to common. Yeah, three strikes, you're out. Everybody knows that. It's baseball. And then they attribute it to the ways of the Lord. And now here you are. And if you're a person that's just new and you're struggling and you keep falling down, when you get to three, you don't bother to get back up. Why? Because you've accepted the philosophy of a seducing spirit that's caused you to believe a lie.
That's so.
And it'll take you out because of what you believe.
Every time, yes.
Right? But if we go back to the Word of God, and we go back to the truth, and we let God be true, and every man a liar, and all of his philosophies, we find the truth of what the Word of God says.
Yeah.
Right? In the day that you seek after me with your whole heart, you'll find me. That's what the Word says.
Yeah.
There's no other condition put upon it.
Yeah.
Right? And so, when we think about giving ourselves grace, you ever thought about what makes it difficult for you to give yourself grace? Right? Has anybody here ever doubted themselves and just not wanted to give themselves grace? Of course. Okay, then tell me what is in your mind that makes you have a hard time with that. I should have done better. How many times have you told yourself that and heard that? I mean, you get admonished by your parents and they, hey, you should have did better. You know better than that. And that's good instruction, but it also needs to be tempered and balanced.
Yeah.
It's not just, you should have done better. When you've messed up and you come to the Lord,
brother.
Is that the only thing you hear from Him? You should have done better. And He just walks away and leaves you there in your prayer? No. And you're just sitting there wondering?
No.
No, that's not how our Lord is. That's not what he does. He comes down and meets you in that place. And he might say, yeah, you should have done better. But you know what? He's going to put his arm around you. He says, let me show you how to be better. Let me show you how to do better. And so it is that when we give instruction as parents, we need to be mindful of these things, that we don't set our kids up to be subject to the philosophies of the world and these seducing spirits to take our kids out.
Yes.
Right? It's important as people in church that are counseling and helping others that we're faithful to balance this stuff and help people to understand how important it is that we be able to give grace to ourselves, because there's mindsets that prohibit us from giving grace to ourselves. It's hard to give yourself grace if you know you're the one that caused the problem. You got nowhere to hide. I did it. It's my fault. I made a mess. And then what do you say? You probably don't say it, but you think it. Mm-hmm. I don't deserve the forgiveness of the Lord. You know, when you say it out loud, it sounds absurd, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So we just silently let it simmer in the back of our mind and in our subconscious. We don't say it out loud. Yeah. But you know how you can overcome that? Start saying it out loud. Say it out loud, and then you realize how ridiculous of an idea that this is, and this isn't possibly true. This doesn't fit with what the Word of God says, because by definition, grace is unmerited or undeserving favor. So if I'm telling myself I don't deserve it, I'm in the right place to come before the throne of God, and the Scripture tells me how to come. Shamefaced, crawling, crying. No, it's just to come boldly. Why? Because I know I'm going to receive something. Right? It's just like when they're handing out free stuff and you don't question it. You just go, I'm like, yeah, where's mine? He said, I get it free. Let me have it. Right? That's how we approach God. These spirits that want to deceive will convince you you can't possibly go before God like that. As if you were any worse than when you first came to the Lord to begin with. We have to remember these things.
Amen.
These are the things that kill grace. These are mindsets that need to be broken.
Yes.
Yeah. As I mentioned last night, you see with Adam and Eve, what's the natural response? How do you know if you're under the unction of a deceiving spirit, a seducing spirit? It's real easy. Do you want to be in God's presence or not? If you don't want to be there, understand that it's a seducing spirit that's drawing you away. You need to run for your life. Run to the Lord. Whether it's at home in your prayer closet or it's in church service or whatever it is, get out a songbook, start singing, praising the Lord, pray. Whatever it is, read the Word of God. But you need to run to the Lord. If you're feeling a draw and it's pushing you aside and away from the Lord, you need to run the other way. Just like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. What do? Put his fingers in his ears and shouted, life, life, eternal life. I'm not going to listen to what you have to say to me. I'm going to where my source of freedom and inspiration and safety and security is. I'm going to the Lord.
Amen.
I was thinking about how important it is to have our minds renovated. Brother Nathan and Sister Kara, they know a little bit about home renovations, right? I've got some experience with that. There's a scripture here in the 12th chapter of Romans that tells us how to handle these things. And understand that when it comes to these seducing spirits and when it comes to these grace killers, that we need to have our minds altered. I will remind you tonight that when the children of Israel went into the Canaan land, there was deliverance, was there not?
Yes.
But you know there were still battles to face once they got there. And I want you to know the Lord didn't drive them all out at once. There were some battles that took place many, many years later. What does that tell us? That tells us when we think about these seducing spirits and the things that they try to do to us, that there are going to be times where we have mindsets and we have philosophies and we have ideologies that we've hung on to for years. And perhaps maybe tonight the Lord said it's time.
Amen.
It's time to drive out that enemy. It's time to break down that stronghold in your mind. It's time to tear apart that philosophy, that ideology that you've been hanging on to that feels so comfortable. It's time to have it torn down and destroyed. It's time for a renovation of your mind. In order for us to be successful, to be able to freely receive the grace, to give it to ourselves, to give it to the people of God, to give it to the world, we have to have our minds restored and renewed. It says here in Romans 12 and 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world." Okay? You understand the time in which we live, 2026, is a very divisive time. It's very much wanting to separate people and put them at odds. What did Abraham Lincoln famously say? Same thing Jesus said. A house divided shall not stand. You know, Abraham Lincoln once said of this country, and this was over 100 years ago, no foreign enemy is going to come into this country and take it by force. He said the only way it's going to go down is if you implode it from within. Jesus very clearly said, a house divided shall not stand. When we look at our nation, it's so easy to get behind, how shall I say it, an agenda that fits with how I think and what I believe. It's so easy to identify. I tell people all the time, you know, I don't care much for politics, because it doesn't matter if you have an R or a D or an I, they're all on the same team. They all hang out at the same clubs, they go to the same parties, the same fundraisers, and they'll get it. I say it's WWE at its finest. And I know most of you probably don't know what that is, but that's the fake wrestling, right? And those people get on camera and they have a role to play, and they get in there and they, oh, I'm this guy, and the other side's so bad, and the other one gets out there, I'm so great, and the other one's bad, and they rile up the fans and get them behind one or the other. You understand that's what's happening in our country right now? We're convinced that, no, they stand for this issue, and I believe in it, and there they go, and they're marching, they're proclaiming it, meanwhile they're living an ungodly life. Why am I so excited for them? Now, I'm not saying don't vote. I think we should. But understand, they're not our Savior. They're not on our team. They don't stand for righteousness. If we were to put them in a system of criteria, I dare say you'd be hard-pressed to find any one of them that are qualified to preach in our pulpits. But man, there are seducing spirits working with them. How many people? It doesn't matter what side. They'll show up to a rally. They'll get excited. They got their signs and they're out there. We all see it in the news. We're not hiding from it. Something, an event happens, and then pretty soon there's this group that advocates for this, and they're over there screaming and shouting and whipping people into a frenzy. And on the other side, there's an opposing view. It doesn't take long before they're fighting with each other. How much of that do we have to see before we realize that's not the fruit of the Spirit? God is not in it anywhere. This is carnal way of thinking and a carnal way of being, and the scripture tells us the carnal mind is enmity with God. Do you know what that means? A deep-seated hatred. But it's so easy to get seduced and sucked into it. That meme is just so funny, and it caters to what I believe. All those different things, understand that that's what's going on. That's the time in which we live. And the Lord wants us to be awakened to it, to see it, that we not be succumbed to its power, that we not be brought into subjection to those kinds of things, but that we recognize that we serve a God who has a kingdom that is not on this earth, right, and it is never going to end.
That's right.
We read on a little bit further, and it says, "Be not conformed to this world." That means you don't fit in with their way of thinking. Do you realize there's a reason why they do propaganda? It works. It works. There's a reason why you buy the products you do. Yes. Advertisers pay millions of dollars for it. There's a reason why these influencers who don't really do much but sit and talk to a camera, you know why they make so much money? Because they know all of us are looking, and advertisers will give them money just so they can get in front, because they know if they advertise, we'll eventually succumb and buy it.
Yes.
Don't think you're above it. You're human. Remember the children of Israel? Yes. They're out there in the wilderness. They walk through the world's first aquarium. God has a pillar of fire at night, a cloud by day. There's a constant reminder of his presence and his care for them. And yet, what do? I want the leeks. I want the garlic.
They
succumb to those seducing spirits.
Yes.
We're not much different than they are.
Yes.
Except for the mercy of God and the Spirit of God to give us a clear understanding.
Yes.
So it tells us to not be conformed, but be transformed.
Yes,
you know what that means? You're going to change.
That's right.
You're not going to stay the same.
That's right. Yes.
And that means that sometimes some of those mindsets that you've had for such a long time that have served you well, maybe now the Lord is coming and knocking and saying, guess what? It's time to transform that. That needs to go. That way of thinking and all that it entails needs to be cast aside, and I've got something different for you. I've got something better that brings you more freedom, brings you more, what did the sister say? Free from all that saddened my life?
That's right.
You ever question your thinking? You really should.
Yes.
It's what we call metacognition, right? When you think about the way that you think. We need to spend time once in a while meditating and the thoughts that are into my head and go, hey, why do I think like that? Where did that come from? When we start to do that and we start to invite the Lord into that presence, and Lord, let's analyze my thinking and where is that thought and where did it come from and what's going to be the logical conclusion of it? What's going to be the fruit that it produces? And I analyze it in light of the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's what he's telling us right here when he says, by the renewing of your mind, right? That's how we get transformed, is that we allow our minds to be renewed. And I can say it this way, that we allow the Lord to renovate.
That's so, brother.
There's going to come a time where whatever it is that you have on hand is going to be outdated.
Yes.
And the Lord is wanting to put a facelift on you. Yes. The Lord is wanting to do some new things and bring more of his glory into your life. And so it is that it's either going to succumb to a seducing spirit and hang on to those comfortable ways of thinking and ways of being, or you're going to give it up and you're going to allow your mind to be transformed.
Yes.
And the only way that your mind is transformed and renewed is that we get back to the Word of God.
Amen.
That we examine the ideas and the philosophies and the ways of thinking that we have, and I start to examine it in light of the Word and ask myself, is it in line with what God's Word says? Because the reality is, if it's not in line with what God's Word says, I've got to let it go. I have to
let it go.
In this world, you're going to face a lot of difficult things. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy will talk to you in a way that you like to hear. He knows how to talk to you. Right? So when difficulty comes your way, the enemy will be right there saying, oh, you shouldn't have to suffer. Look at how much you've sacrificed for the Lord.
Right.
Look at how much you've done for God here and God there and this, that, the other. And well, why didn't somebody else have to suffer like you? Why is it always you that have to suffer? He'll bring that thought to you. But then we go back to the Word of God. We go back to the Word and we rebuke him, just like Jesus did in the 4th chapter of Matthew. The enemy came. He even sometimes quoted Scripture. The enemy will quote Scripture to you. He'll misrepresent it,
yes,
but he'll quote it to you. And it's up for us to know the Word and to rightly divide it and to quote it back to him in the way that is true.
Yep.
The way that is intended as the Lord had written it and what our understanding is. So it is, you know, Brother Kevin and I were talking about the other day, we live in a time where nobody wants to suffer.
Right.
And you might be sitting there saying, well, I don't mind suffering, really? What if your air conditioner went out today? How long would it be before you called somebody? And that's just a small thing in the flesh. How about if somebody does one of your family members, one of your children, wrong? There's some suffering that goes on.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Those are one of those things that's a grace killer. When somebody acts wrong and does wrong, and a lot of times we're more apt to deal with it if it's us personally, but when it's somebody that we love and we deem a little bit helpless, can't defend themselves, it's a whole other level, and all of a sudden, where's the grace?
Yes.
Where'd it go? You see, these are grace killers. And what happens is we start to formulate all these mind in our mind, all these thoughts, But you know what the scripture tells us also? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Right.
You ever thought about what Jesus went through? Scripture tells you to meditate upon it.
Yes.
Right? Otherwise, you're going to become weary in your mind and you're going to faint. That's what the word tells us.
Yeah.
We have to consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners. Jesus washed the feet of Judas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All the while knowing what Judas was going to do.
Yes. That's right.
I don't believe he washed his feet any different than he did the other apostles.
That's so.
He treated him the same way.
Yes.
How is that possible? You got to let go of some mindsets. You got to let go of some opinions. You got to let go of some ways of thinking that are in error to the purpose and the will of God. And understand that this is where it is for us. This is where we live. These are the things that prohibit the grace of God from going forward to ourselves, to those that we're in relationship, family, friends, and to the world at large. These are the things, these ideologies and these thought processes that are not in line with the way of God. And we have to let those things go. We have to be transformed. We have to be renewed in our mind. And the only way that happens is if we come to the Lord and we take the engrafted word and we allow it to have its effect. We allow it to take away some of these things and give us a new way of being able to look at things. As I said last night, when it comes to grace, it doesn't see you as you are. Only. It sees you as to what you could be. And sometimes it's really hard to do that when people have done you wrong. When you think they should know better. Right? These are the things. These are the ways those seducing spirits work, is they bring out these little ideas. And it justifies me harboring feelings that are not like the Lord. And that's what it's talking about when it says we must be renewed and transformed and have our mind renewed. And we go back to the word of the Lord. We go back to the counsel of the Lord. No matter how justified we might be in harboring the feelings and the thoughts that we do, if it doesn't draw me closer to the Lord, if it doesn't draw me closer to those that I'm in relationship with and I'm endeavoring to help, it's not of the Lord. Understand, some things are harder to work on than others. I don't want to set you up to walk out of here feeling like I can't make it.
That's right.
We're all going to make it. I'm going to tell you, by God's grace, we're all going to make it. Understand that it's said to grow in grace, right? And it would grow in our maturation of the Lord. And when there are things that the Lord reveals, don't run away. Don't stay down. Don't give up. But rather run to the Lord and say, Lord, okay, you brought this to my attention. I'm not willing to hide from it. I'm willing to acknowledge it. Yeah, here's the thing. I didn't even know it was there, maybe. Maybe it was a philosophy given to me by my family, and I've just carried it for so long, and now, Lord, your spirit is checking it.
Yes.
But, Lord, here I am.
Yes.
I offer it to you.
Yes.
Lord, create in me. Isn't that what David said?
Yes, he did.
Create in me clean heart.
Yes.
Right? He said, examine my thoughts, didn't he?
Yeah.
My way of thinking. Lord, look there too.
Yeah.
Don't just look at my actions, but look at the way that I'm thinking. Because, you know, we can do the right thing and still have bad attitude. And have the wrong thinking in our mind.
Yes.
You know how I know this? Because Jesus said, the Pharisees did it.
Yeah.
They said, we did all these things in your name. He said, I never knew you. I mean, there was quite an impressive list of things that they offered up as evidence that they were working for him and doing his will. And he said, I never knew you. Right? We have to have the mind of Christ. 2026, the world's raging. They're all trying to divide. And our job is to unite. He's given us that ministry of reconciliation. And the only way that we're going to be effective at it is that we have to check our thoughts. And we have to bring those down to the altar. And when they're opposed to the word of God and the ways of God, we've got to let it die. We just got
to
give it to the Lord and trust that he knows how to help me get past that, to put that to death, and to have a new way of thinking. And so I want to encourage you.
Yes, brother. Thank you, Lord.
God's not done. He's got plenty to do. He's got plenty for each of us. But there are some things that get in the way. And I want to tell you, if you have some things tonight that get in the way, I want to encourage you, bring it to the Lord. Lay it at His feet. Give it to Him. Let Him show you how to work through that, how to put that thing to death, and to have a different way of thinking. Because I'm going to tell you, it works. I'll just give you a personal example. Several years ago, I had a principal that was an open lesbian. And she did not like the Bible club that I had at school, that I was running and supervising. And she went so far as to essentially, well, she had a kid on a school newspaper come into the meeting for about 10 minutes and then basically write a hit piece in the school newspaper and accuse us of a lot of different kinds of things. And she was working behind the scenes and doing some stuff that was actively working against it. I'm a Church of God minister, saved, sanctified, want all souls to go to heaven. But you know what? I was tempted to have some thoughts about her. And I didn't like her very much. And I started to develop some mindsets. And it was so easy to accept because she was evil. She did wicked things. And in my mind, it would get justified, you know, yeah, here she is, she's evil, she's wicked, she's opposed to the things of God. And so you think all these thoughts that are not good towards her. And the Spirit will allow you to justify that way of thinking because she's opposed to the things of God. That's the enemy of God. And so I can feel and think this kind of way. Mm-hmm. And I remember distinctly, I even know where I was on the road. I was driving home. And I started thinking about her. And her face came up in my mind's eye. I could see it. And I felt my shoulders literally getting tense.
Okay.
Like flexing. And my neck was tense and all this. And I'm feeling this. And I'm just kind of like, man, what's going on? And I'm feeling all this emotion. And then the Lord so sweetly, He whispers to me and He says, I died for her too. And it washed away all those feelings and all those thoughts and took it away in a way that I could never do myself. And understand that that was the mercy of God operating on my behalf to give me deliverance and victory over those seducing spirits that were trying. They'll appeal to your way of thinking. But it's contrary to the ways of God. And what I found is that the Lord gave me love for her. You know what else the Lord did? The Lord gave me the courage to go to her office and tell her what I had done. She never knew. She wouldn't have been able to tell by my behavior per se. But God knew. And God saw. And sometimes things get broken when we truly humble ourselves and we go down, and sometimes we just admit to somebody something that we've done, thoughts that we'd harbored, and feelings that we had, and you should have seen the look on her face. She was so surprised. I was so embarrassed. So embarrassed. I tell people, I hate to apologize. Not because I'm proud or I don't mind doing an apology. I hate to apologize because it means that I messed up. I don't like to mess up. I like to get things right. I want to please the Lord. But you know what? There's times where you're just going to have to, Lord, I'm sorry. And sometimes we have to go to others. And that's how that power is broken sometimes. That we have to go back and we have to face it. And so it was that I went and I faced her and I told her, I said, look, this is who I was. This is what I was thinking. This is how I was feeling. And I want you to know that this is what the Lord did. Now think about that. You're sitting in your boss's office in a public school, and you're telling them that the Lord's speaking to you.
Yeah.
How are they going to think you're not schizophrenic?
Yeah.
Right? That thought was there, but you know what? We're just going to cast it aside. Doesn't matter. We're going to declare our deliverance and our freedom. And there was total deliverance and total freedom to go there and to share with her. And to this day, when she sees me, she smiles and wants to give me a hug. And she knows what I stand for. But you see, the power of God is greater. And it has the ability to do things. And I'm thoroughly convinced that God can use that. And there will be another that will come along and put some water. And it's someday, sometime, the Lord will use that to call her to his side. So I want to encourage you tonight. Don't be discouraged. But if you find yourself in a place and the Lord is wanting to work on some mindsets and you need some transformation, come boldly to the throne of grace. Get what it is that you stand in need of and let the Lord do his work. Appreciate your time tonight.